of you know, I go and usually speak at, and will be speaking at this year for the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible, the Dean Burgon Society, which defends our King James Version of the Bible and the underlying traditional text that's relating to that. The title of my message is God's Word, a preservative from sin. God's Word, a preservative from sin. But one of the key things that's very interesting is every year that I've been to the Dean Burgon Society, we read completely through the 119th Psalm. It wasn't too long ago that I sat down and read completely through the 119th Psalm with its 176 verses. Now, don't get all worried. I'm not reading through it tonight. But each section begins with a Hebrew letter, and it goes through the Hebrew alphabet in the 119th Psalm. But what I'm going to be preaching on this evening is Psalm 119:11. Psalm 119:11. If you turn there, I'm going to have us read it together. The 119th Psalm, the 11th verse. Reading, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." It is very interesting as you read through the 119th Psalm, and I'd encourage you to read through it at one sitting. It is a psalm of continual praise for the sacred scripture, for the Holy Bible. It's talking about the Holy Bible in just about every verse. I think there's two or three verses that doesn't relate to it directly, but the 119th Psalm lauds the scriptures and the value of the scriptures. God's promises are there. The scriptures are very valuable. It shows, it says in Psalm 119:111, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." There's value in being in the Word of God. It preserves us from sin, comforts us in trouble, and it'll even cheer us in our dying hour. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, you don't need to turn there, says that we need to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. The only way for that to happen, you can't sit on it. It doesn't work by osmosis. You have to read it. You have to listen to it. You have to hear it preached. Sin will keep you from the Word, and the Word will keep you from sin. That's an old saying, and I think that there's a great deal of truth to it. Now, the great goal, point number one, the great goal which David wished to secure, that David wanted to grasp hold of, was this, that I might not sin against thee. That's why he hid the Word of God in his heart. He didn't want to sin. There was a purpose in hiding the Word of God in his heart. His goal was that he didn't sin. Now, I know that Christians aren't sinless. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But Christians should sin less. So the fact is that you and I both know that it is natural for man to sin. Why? Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We have a wicked heart. We have an old nature, even after we're saved. There's a battle that goes on in our life between the old nature and the new nature. The moral fountain of action that we have in here is impure. It can't be reformed. Can a leopard change its spot? You can't reform it. That's why you have to have a new nature. One day our old nature will be removed, and I'll say amen to that. But all true believers know and feel this inherent depravity, because it is a struggle not to yield to sin. Because not only do we have a sin nature, but number two, Christians are surrounded by temptation to sin on every side. Are we not? Every side. Now, the world is full of enticements. The world is full of snares. We're often attracted to the things that are sinful. There's a battle that goes on within our heart, and the heart of the Christian, therefore, needs to be fortified with the Word of God Because you can't just say, I'm not going to do it. You have to have some ammunition. You have to have some fuel. You have to have some power. And that comes by thy word have I hid in my what? My heart. You have to get it in there. The divine word, because as I've told you so many times, the Holy Spirit of God uses the holy word of God to strengthen us, to convict us, to encourage us, to direct us. There are two very special reasons why a Christian is anxious to avoid sin, or why we should be at least anxious to avoid sin and not go headlong into sin. And the first one is sin's evil nature. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13 tells us very, very clearly that God can't look upon sin. Now, if you can find Habakkuk, happy is the man who can find Habakkuk as quickly as I can, because it's marked. But anyway, Habakkuk says, "Thou art a pure eyes to behold iniquity. Thou canst not look upon sin." So what happens is when we sin is, if we're a believer, it breaks our fellowship with God. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59, too, a little bit easier to find. In Isaiah chapter 59, down in verse 2, it says, "But your iniquity have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Sin separates us from God. So sin is evil in its nature. Sin puts a wedge between us and our fellowship with God. And you know what it did to Adam and Eve. It's very, very clear what happened in Eden when sin entered the picture. Man went and hid himself from God because he knew that there was a problem. He knew that there was a problem because sin does separate us from God. Sin, all sin, is against God. It might be against others secondarily, but it is against God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 51 and verse 4, and this famous passage of David writing about this. He says in Psalm 51 and verse 4, these words. He says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done iniquity in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." You could see how David was under conviction and how it affected his relationship with God. He cries out in Psalm 51, verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before thee. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." And so he goes down and he says again, he says in verse 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." So as we put the Word of God into our lives, it does help us to understand very, very clearly how sin alienates us from God and how that we need to be holy because He is holy. And it's going to be a battle all of our life. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked, in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22. It's very, very interesting. Just recently, a situation, a young lady had been clearly told by her parents that she was not to ever, a young high school age, she wasn't to be alone with a young man at any time. And he recently got his license. And she goes to a Christian school, and she has a sister, and everything would have been all right if she'd worked things out right. But the young man comes just as they're leaving school and says, "Hey, I want to give you a ride home. And she jumps in the car, and she goes home. And she'd been clearly under instructions that she was not to do that. But it's good to see that she got under conviction about the situation. You know, that happens so many times. We get ourselves into trouble, but as we have the Word of God in our heart, it brings us under conviction by the Holy Spirit that He works in our lives, and that's what we really want. That's what we really need. That's what we really desire. And so, anyway, there can't be real peace when you're living in sin. And so sin has an awful effect on us. It has an awful effect on us. We're out of sorts. We're out of sorts with God. We're out of sorts with ourselves if we're genuine believers. And it spreads evil and destructiveness all around us. It brings misery. And not to mention the fact that it really can mess up our testimony. We don't need to turn there, but Psalm 38 is another one of David's psalms where he sinned. And David just talks about God's hand being heavy upon him until he finally dealt with his sin. So sin is evil in its nature because it separates us from God, but sin also affects us. It affects our disposition. It affects those around us. Now, point number one was the great goal which David was aiming at, and that was that he might not sin against God. And point number two is the important activity adopted by the psalmist to preserve him from sin. And that important activity was, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." "Thy word have I hid in my heart." It's really clear that the psalmist regarded the word of God as the precious and efficient remedy for sin. He hid it in his heart. And why did he hide it in his heart? That he might be ready whenever he required its use. It must be deposited in our heart. We have to get it there. You can't take a pill to get it. I counsel people many, many times, you know, and they want instant spirituality. You know what? That just doesn't happen. Line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. You've got to add the word, the principles of the word of God to your life. And David says that he deposited it in his heart. It needs to be interwoven into our natures. That's why it's so important with you parents who having young ones. Get them to memorize the scriptures. I would speculate that my daughters, if I ask them, I see Carla here, Sarah here sometime. Sarah's there. Okay, the ABCs. What's A, Sarah? All we like sheep have gone astray. Let's do B. Do you remember B, Carla? But he was wounded for our transgression. What is C, Sarah? All right, well, we'll quit there. But you know what? We memorize Scripture in our home. And you know what? It's still there. It's still there. They didn't know I was going to tell them that. They didn't look those things up tonight. It's still there. It's in the repository up here. And the Holy Spirit can use it and bring it to mind as they move along. So clearly, it needs to be interwoven in our natures. Not just when we're young, but especially when we're young. I know some people say, "Oh, it's just so hard when we're older." Yes, it is. But I'm working on some scriptures now. And you know what? It might take longer, but it still sticks. Even if some of it sticks, and it might take longer. But, you know, you say, "Well, I can't memorize scripture anymore." Well, write it out. You know, you carry it and read it for 100 days in a row, and guess what? I'm telling you something. Gonna stick. Or at least some of it's gonna stick. So, get it in there. Because The important activity adopted by David to preserve him from sin was to hide God's word in his heart. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to attentively hear it. And with self-examination as we do hear it, by prayer for the Holy Spirit to help us to understand it, we can rivet it in our minds and in our hearts. And then that's what it means, the Word of God dwelling in us richly, when it gets in there and it is riveted in our minds and in our hearts. If we have the Word only in our houses, if we have the Word of God only in our hands, the enemy can take it from us. But if it's in our heads, if it's in our memories, if it's in our hearts, it makes an impression there, and then all is safe. You know these, I know, but if you'd have your Bibles turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18. It says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon thy hands, that they may be as frontless between your eyes. Now, the Jews kind of didn't really get this, because Orthodox Jews, they have little phylacteries here, and they bind boxes on their heads and boxes on their arms. That's not what it's talking about here. You don't need a matchbox of scripture on your head and one on your arm. You know where you need it? You need it inside your head. And I'm not talking about an operation where you put a box in your head. I'm talking about getting the Word of God into your brain, because then somebody can't steal it away. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, you know this, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now that's a little bit of an awkward statement. It means continually talk about it and let it guide your life. That's what it's talking about. The word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so get it in your head. Why does the Word of God preserve us from sin? Well, when it is hidden in the heart, the Christian regards it as the Word of God and not as the Word of man. They know it's the plumb line and the level of their life. It's in your head. You memorize it's there, and you're able to balance your behavior, your actions, and those other things with it. You look at it as God's authoritative scripture, and we are to obey it. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, down in verse 13. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard from us, watch this now, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the what? The word of God, which worketh effectually also in you that believe. The word of God is powerful, and it works in your life. So, when we hide it in our heart, we look at it as the word of God. When we hide it in our heart, it is the perpetual standard for moral excellence. What do I mean by that? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, follow after holiness. We need to follow after holiness, because without it you can't see God. It is the standard by which we measure things as whether they're holy or unholy. You can measure somebody's speech, whether it's holy or unholy, if you know the Word of God. Amen? You can measure conduct. You can tell whether it's holy or unholy. You can measure a television program. You can measure a book. You can measure anything if you know the Word of God. Because by the purity of the precepts of the Word of God, you can hold it up to other things and see their shortcoming. The Word of God is the test by which everything should be tried. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, and then I'm out of time. I'll have to see whether I'll continue this further on, but Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. I like Isaiah 8, 20. It says this. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. This is the test. I don't care how many other people are doing it. If the book says it's wrong, 99.9% of people might be doing something, but if the book says it's wrong, guess what? It's wrong, even if the overwhelming majority of people are doing it. And to the law, you know, if it doesn't match up with the Word of God, there's no light in them. It's not right. And that's why we need to hide God's Word in our hearts so that we don't sin against Him. If you haven't been hiding any lately, get back to hiding.